Often have tried, but none have come close. Men have been in office, but none have come close. When all a man fell, only Jesus could stand up. And there were many that came before him, Moses and Elijah, all the prophets. But there was none that could quite do what Jesus could do. There is no one greater. In my studies, the Lord normally speaks to me. That's why it's a good thing to open up that word and to read. As a pastor, I have privilege of having a pulpit. So where God's mind and my mind can come together. And oftentimes you don't always understand what God is trying to do or say. But you realize that it's not your pulpit and it's not your word, it's His word. And then you try to dive into what he has served up before you. Now, this right here is a chunk of information. And I'm trying to accomplish in a day what generally could take about 4 Sundays to accomplish. But I don't want to get too deep, but I do want to touch on this particular topic. I had a member one time make a statement that they wished they could speak in tongues. And it was based upon the glorification that others do and the importance that they place on it as being a part of salvation. Because even in the back of most of our minds, some of us wonder, are we truly saved? Amen. That's one of the reasons why we struggle so much with things, because yeah, I want to know that I know that I know. Yeah. And so if speaking in tongues is that other part, then, you know, let me speak in a tongue so I can feel like I'm born again. Amen. Right. And that's just lack of knowledge. That's lack of studying. So I just wanted to kind of clear some things up today. So if you don't mind, I'd like to go into a little teaching mode and break some of this stuff down for you. Amen. If you would, turn to the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter. I believe this is where it all started. Book of Acts, the 2nd chapter. We'll pick right up on verse 1. Now, keep your Bibles out because I got a lot of scriptures for you today. All right, we're going to use this as our springboard. Amen? Amen. Acts 2. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? For a subject, I just want to ask the question, what you say? What you say? I think it's very important to understand that when you look at this particular topic. This here is where the church was born. Remember, Christ had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. The Bible says that when he breathed on them, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Amen? And they began to speak in other tongues. It didn't say speak in unknown tongues. Speak in other tongues. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Because there were a multitude of nations represented at this place under all the heavens. In other words, there was more than one dialect that was there. And the power of the Holy Spirit has that ability to take an uneducated and make him look learned. Amen? Now, some would like to argue with the fact that maybe the blessing or the miracle was not in the speaking, but in the hearing. That would disregard who the Holy Spirit was. Because it was the process of the Holy Spirit coming in with the diverse tongues that set the whole picture off. Yes. So therefore, we realize that it was the apostles now speaking in the tongues or the languages of all those who are represented for one purpose and one purpose only, so that all could understand the gospel. So we have come to a point where we have different denominations. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, don't get it twisted. Because they speak in tongues don't mean they ain't saved. And then vice versa, because we don't mean we're not saved. But let's say what they think about it. Amen? All right, so we have a whole Pentecostal movement. And generally, Pentecostals is where you find speaking in tongues. Amen? Which started from the holiness movement, but branched out. Because what I understood and what I found out that I did not know is that the holiness movement never included speaking in tongues as evidence of salvation.
Come on now.
That's where it branched out, because of the split between the thinking of speaking versus non-speaking. Wow. The Pentecostals, the main predominant domination to deal with that, Church of God in Christ. Amen. And so I just grabbed those two, and I wanted to read to you their belief system. From the Kojic first, we believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an experience subsequent to conversion and sanctification, and that tongue speaking is the consequence of the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And they get this from part of it is Acts 10, 44 through 46. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even unto the Gentiles. But they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Now, the word for tongues is glossolalia. Okay, and that's a Greek terminology. So there is such thing as speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is an unintelligible language versus intelligible. All right? In other words, people won't understand what you're saying. Now, at the same time, and one of the reasons why this was kind of important was because not only did the church do it, but so did unbelievers. See, one of the things that the church has always done is try to identify with the unbelievers. And so when folks were speaking in this unintelligible language to the god of Diana or Isis and all of the other things, it showed that they had the presence of the Spirit on them. Amen. So now here was a manifestation now of a holy level, and they wanted folks to get, I guess, to realize that the Holy Spirit had this power to lay on them to show that they have received the Holy Ghost. Amen. But if you look at the scriptures carefully, this is not an occurring event throughout the Word of God. Once or twice, maybe speaking in a diverse tongue or different tongue. Other than that, when you look at this, you'll find that every time that the Holy Ghost came, and you're reading that, you read a lot of times when the Holy Ghost came upon somebody, but every time it came upon them, it did not cause them to speak in tongues. Amen. And of course, the first being the Pentecost, where they spoke in a known tongue, just known to those who were around, but was foreign to those who were speaking it. So we understand that when the Holy Spirit comes, it comes as a power to give, to do what? A work. Amen. It says that we believe that we are not baptized with the Holy Ghost in order to be saved. When one receives a baptismal Holy Ghost experience, we believe one will speak with a tongue unknown to oneself according to the sovereign will of Christ. To be filled with the Spirit means to be spirit controlled, as expressed by Paul in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Since the charismatic demonstrations were necessary to help the early church to be successful in implementing the command of Christ, we therefore believe that a Holy Ghost experience is mandatory for all men today. Now, the statement that they made is that because the charismatic demonstrations were necessary to help the early church to be successful in implementing, remember, the words at Pentecost were not unknown. Amen? So you got to kind of throw that out back out the window. Well, that's not the case, because the church was implemented on a word that people could understand in their own language. So that's the Kojic position. Church of God says this: the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire is a gift from God, as promised by the Lord Jesus Christ to all believers in this dispensation of time, and is received subsequent to the new birth. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is accompanied by speaking in other tongues, as the Holy Spirit himself gives utterance as the initial physical sign and evidence. Now, here comes the question. It says, as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. Now, generally, if the Holy Spirit is going to give utterance to speak in tongues, doesn't it have to be a reason? If he's given the power that's beyond you to speak a holy language or a holy dialect or another language, it has to be come from God for a purpose. It's not just to blurt out some unknown language so that you look like you're more spiritual than the next person. And I declare, man, I went to Africa, and I declare what they speak, most of them, is Swahili. When you hear the Africans over there talk, and I hear what they were saying, I'm like, man, are you speaking in tongues or what? They're like, no, this is our native tongue. I said, but I've heard some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and at the same time, too, what I hear, or if you hear someone who's speaking in tongues, if you pay close attention, it's normally the same thing. Now, you ain't got to say amen, but you've been around it. You got to become smarter or wiser than those who are not as wise. Because remember, the Spirit also gives discernment.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
All right. The United Pentecostal Church. Within the Pentecostal movement, the United Pentecostal Church International is quite unusual. It holds many non-traditional beliefs that conflict with other denominations within Pentecostal. They believe that the ability to speak in tongues is a necessary indication of a valid religious conversion. They deny the legitimacy of the conversion of hundreds of millions of born-again Christians from other denominations where tongues are rarely, if ever, spoken. No tongues, no salvation. So, for example, they would regard most Southern Baptists as unsaved, even though most have gone through the same process of sincerely repenting of their sins and trusting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, just as most of the United Pentecostal Church members have. So, in other words, you ain't spoken no tongue? How much sense does that truly make? Especially when all of the signs, whenever the Holy Ghost appeared, it was never always an evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen? So when we get so caught up in what I like to call the superficial stuff of church, we lose sight on the true gospel, on the reality of it all. It's not that we're trying to be special, not that we're trying to be like anybody else. We're just trying to be who God called us to be. And so if he called you to be who you are, there's no need to try to impress anyone else. Nor to take the scriptures out of context to fit your mode of thinking. Amen? Because remember what I said, that generally if you see a scripture and it's only based on one view within the word, you can't really hang a doctrine on that. All right? The things that are doctrinal in our statements and our beliefs occur multiple times within the word of God to establish a pattern that the word considers this to be important, such as baptism. Amen. Such as the Trinity, such as salvation. No man come unto the Father but by Christ. Amen. I came into the world and the world received me not. I came to save them, but not to condemn them. So we know that salvation is a must and it's a necessity. But this tongue thing is so far out of left field. Why are we so concerned about it? Why are we so hyped up about it? Why are we so motivated about it? Why is it that we so... I just want to, you know, and don't get me wrong, because tongues is real. So I'm not saying that it ain't real. I'm saying that it has its proper place and proper time and proper setting. Amen. So let's go on to explore that a little bit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. While you're turning, let me read a little excerpt. A static phenomenon traditionally associated with religious experience, we're dealing with tongues. It has been practiced through the ages in various religious settings, both Christians and non-Christian, by individuals in private as well as by whole communities. When the Apostle Paul mentions the use of tongues being a sign not for believers but for unbelievers, he refers to a view that was commonly held among the practitioners of ancient pagan religions, according to which glossolalia, which was a sign of the active presence of the gods, thus wherever the oracle of Delphi became inspired, she would speak in tongues as an evidence of supernatural illumination. So we realize that more people will engage in the so-called speaking in tongues, whether you are of the Lord or of the demons or Satan himself. Amen. Because don't think that the spirits or the demons are not real as well. Amen. One thing you got to understand about the gospel is this whole thing is not a plaything. The spirit, the demon spirits are just as real as the heavenly spirits. Amen. What do you think helps keep us on our knees so much at a time? Amen. So we fight against what? So you understand. So you realize that this stuff is definitely real, but we have taken things out of context. All right. 1 Corinthians. Now, I could really read this whole chapter. As a matter of fact, let's look at this first. All right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So the idea of tongues is not for who? It's for who? Okay, so now if we're in a setting where that is the utmost of importance and you're speaking to everybody, because I've seen it where, you know, multiple ones begin to speak in tongues and you are speaking to God, what purpose does it have in the sanctuary? It's a spirit, and I'm talking about the unknown tongue, amen, not the known, the unknown. So if you in here and all these folks start speaking in tongues, and tongues is to be spoken to the spirit, then that means the only one understanding is the spirit and the tongue that you're speaking, because half time you don't understand what you're saying, right? Because you're supposed to be under the power of the spirit. So therefore, it's not glorifying anybody within this branch. One of the things we know about the Lord is that it's done in decency and order. Amen. So therefore, if someone is speaking in tongues and you got visitors or guests who have no idea what's going on, then that looks like something crazy going on inside God's house. And if I can understand, it's like when you get into a cab. And I use cab because there's so many foreigners who drive cabs. And they begin to speak and you wonder like, what the heck are they talking about? And you're like, they better not be talking about me. So you be listening real carefully for anything to sound like, you know, El Negro or something like that. You know, you be trying to figure out, just make sure they want to up and up. But the bottom line is, you don't understand it because it's not a language that you speak, and therefore you would wish that they would what? Speak. People say, look, you're an American now, you need to speak English. So that I can understand and know if you're talking about me or you ain't. Well, hear the same thing in church. If you up here in a church where you come to get blessed, encouraged, and nourished, and you hear stuff going on, and you don't know what's going on, how you going to get encouraged? If anything, you're going to be perplexed or confused. And then you say, well, wait a minute. Now, they must got something special. Or I want some of that. I had a friend when I was in the military, and they didn't even put me practicing in the military, but I was in the military, and we, you know, we couldn't find a church, so we decided to go to the base church. And you know me, I'm straight Baptist up under Nat Johnson. You know, so we get up in there, and they say, well, we want to give you the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh, no. I said, even in the military? I said, how he get away with this? You know, but my friend was like, yeah, I want some of that, man. And so he said, well, come on down, brother. And he came down and he got down up on his knees and got before the altar because, you know, that's where you do it, you know. You got to get down there before the altar and stuff like that, you know, in order for the Holy Spirit to come down on fire and give you these speaking in tongues. And so they had him down there and he said, all right, brother, we want you to say thank you, Jesus. You know, so he on his knees, he praying. He like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. All right, now start saying it a little bit faster now. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you. He was like, oh, man, I did it. I spoke in tongues. I said, I felt weak and weary. I said, well, you was on your knees for about 30 minutes. I said, and you weren't speaking in tongues. You got tongue twisted. He said, there you go again. I said, man, look. They just had you cornered up. You was ready to get up off the knees. They had you down there so long. But once again, my purpose comes back to the same thing. What was it edifying? It didn't do nothing for me. And I'm in God's house. When I come in God's house, I want to hear instruction. I want to hear the word. I want to be encouraged. I want to be taught. I want to be led somewhere. I don't want to be sitting there trying to figure out what's going on and when is this going to be over with. I went to one place with my father and they were speaking in tongues and they started foaming at the mouth, shaking their heads and dancing. And I'm like, what the heck? And I was just a child, but I knew something ain't right about this. But they were so horned up. But when it came time to the word, they didn't want to hear none of that. It's like, well, you know, we already had our church. The Spirit done already came down here. Let me tell you something. The Spirit ain't been through nowhere if he ain't dropped a word. The Spirit never calls a church to session and ain't gave a word. Amen. At Pentecost, they gave a word that all could understand. It wasn't no, what are they saying? No, it says that they were astonished. And they said, how is it that these men with no knowledge can talk in languages and they've not studied anything and yet all around can hear what they're saying? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to communicate. It must make what? Sense. Paul goes on. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. All right. Amen. Right. If you go on to 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So in other words, it's not that there's not a time, but there is a proper place. Amen. Paul said, now look, I want all of y'all to speak. I speak in tongues. That's a wonderful thing, but it's a communication between me and God. It ain't got nothing to do with the salvation. It's that communication that's on a level between the spirit and the spirit. But Paul says, hey, to speak an unknown tongue in the body, in the branch, it has no relevance. Look at 1 Corinthians. All right, I tell you what. Let me show you exactly how he breaks this down. Because he just said that if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent, right? What's the reason for the interpreter? To let you know what's going on, right? Now, there's one speaking in tongues, another interprets.
Yes, sir.
Well, I see the person speaking in tongue, turn around and interpret what he just said. And that's already out of order. That right there should cause you, excuse me. It has to be in an order. Now, the other thing is that if someone speaks in an unknown tongue within the body of Christ, two, there should be an interpreter. Three, whatever the interpreter interprets from what was spoken has to edify the body of Christ. In other words, that particular congregation, it should be a word that would encourage and uplift and move forward. It ain't going to be an individual. He's not going to stop and do an individual, because I see this one too. Let me see, because the Lord has just prophesied over your life. And let me tell you what I see, based upon, and they go into a little tongue and they say, well, the Lord, that's not scriptural. Now, I'm just telling y'all what happens when you start studying. And you start looking to the word, because a lot of folks follow folks who seem educated because they look good and they sound good, and then they don't go follow up. Like, I expect y'all to go follow up on what I'm saying, because it ain't enough for me to say it for you to believe it. You got to get into it so that the Spirit settles it down in your heart and let you know that what I was saying came from the Spirit. And now I can identify with it. So when someone comes to me with some stuff about that, I can say, well, no, the scriptures say.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Ain't that what Jesus did?
Yes, sir.
Satan came and said, well, the word of God say this. And Jesus said, but it also is written.
Yeah.
Amen. So in order to sit there and to counteract somebody who thinks they have somewhat intelligent or partial knowledge of the scripture, you got to have some more so that you can put them in check and let them go the other way. Because if you don't have it in you, you may just believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
Amen? Let's go down to 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now, this is the scriptures. So why in the world would the scriptures say all of this good stuff is not necessary, but yet we preach that it's relevant? Can't you see the struggle between the spirit and flesh? Because let me tell you this. Most people have a special gift, not just for the gift, but to show you they got more than you. I'm closer to God because he gave me this special gift that you don't have. Because true gifts from God don't have to be announced, don't have to be credited, don't have to be seen. Because you're not doing it unto them, you're doing it unto who? God. He's blessed you with the gift. It ain't to brag or to boast that you have this special gift. It's to use it for the uplifting of the body of Christ. So you don't care if anybody know you can speak in tongues. You go to your closet all day long speaking anything you want to speak, and that's between you and God, and you come out more refreshed and more powerful. But you don't got to come, yeah, I go to my closet all the time. I'm speaking in tongues and everything. At what point is that of God? You done already lost the meaning of even the power of the Holy Spirit resting on you, that now you got to brag and boast that the Spirit is on you. I'm just talking, man. I'm just talking. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles. Let me just stop right there. The apostles that were appointed in the church are those who are handpicked of Jesus himself. In other words, there are no more apostles. But nowadays, you hear about apostles. Biblical era. But they don't want to be a bishop. They don't want to be a pastor. They don't want to be a reverend or a minister. They got to go to the top because the Bible lays it down in an order saying that the apostles are the highest. Amen. So now, through ignorance, we have apostles. Amen. All right. Second, prophets. Who are under what? Apostles, right? Now this is the Paul, this is the order that Paul is laying down. Third, teachers. The deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and the very last one, various kinds of tongues. In other words, it isn't even important enough to be listed at the top. It's the least of all he just said. So if it's the least, how in the world could it be tied to salvation? If it was the most important, wouldn't it be wrapped right there in salvation? Unless you speak tongues, unless you have the receiving of the Holy Spirit and speaking an unknown tongue, you are not even saved or born again. How could you put your mouth to even put the lips together to say something as silly as that? And have folks believe it because you look and sound like you know what you're talking about. But if you look, if they even read the scriptures, they can see that while it is a gift from God, it's the last one listed. Then he goes on to say, all are apostles. All are prophets, all are teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but strive for the greater gifts. In other words, in the list he has just went down, they still ain't the most important. He said those are good things that are in the body of Christ. But strive for the greatest of all these gifts. In other words, to my member, you know, you don't have to speak in tongues. That ain't the greatest gift. So when you get caught up and these folk come at you, you're talking about, well, I mean, I hear you speaking in tongues, but you know that's not the greatest gift, right? So, well, what you mean? Well, that's nice, but not necessary. You know, and then the way I hear it, you're not doing it according to the scriptures. But what you mean? Well, I mean, I just hear you rattling off, but there ain't no interpreter around and ain't nobody, you know, how is it edifying me? I don't understand the words you're saying. But what you mean edifying you? I'm talking to the spirit. Well, then shouldn't you be in your spiritual closet somewhere? You know, communicating with God. Because I'm not saying that it ain't real, but I'm just saying that it seems like to me that you're doing it out of order. Wow. Oh, you don't understand. You just want to Mount Moriah, you know. you must go to Triple MBC. You know, y'all don't sway, y'all don't clap, y'all don't do anything. Y'all don't turn to your neighbor and say five sentences at one time. You know, so I don't expect you to understand. Well, I'm just trying to help you out, brother. You know, teacher. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 that, you know, all those things some people have, but it says to strive for greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So if I really want to be close to God, it ain't about me being an apostle.
Right.
It ain't about me being a preacher.
Right.
It ain't about me healing. It ain't about me speaking in tongues. He said there's something greater than this. I said, well, wait a minute. These are the stuff that's easily pointed out. You know, I can do this kind of stuff. You know, I can step out on stuff that you ain't got no part of that you can't do. No, but Christ said all that stuff is nice, but it ain't necessary. Paul establishes, and he talks about it quite well. If you go through when you get home and go over the whole 1 Corinthians 14, he's going to lay all that stuff down. All right? But I'm gonna finish up here on 13 because I want you to know where this is going. Because everything we hear now, you know, I said the term is what you say. Because if for me to hear it, you got to say something that I understand. If I'm going to go into battle with you and you're going to give me orders in a tongue that I have no idea what you're giving me, I'll be looking at you like, well, what are we supposed to do? Matter of fact, I'm going to get shot in the battle because I don't know. I don't have no marching orders. And so if I'm a good soldier, I'm like, well, look, I'm not quite following this person right here because I need some orders that are intelligible,
right.
You know, that will tell me what to do. Tell me where I'm going. Tell me who to fight. Tell me when to hold on. Tell me when to stand up. Tell me when to be still. Don't start speaking something that I can't. I'm saying, well, look, you know what he's saying. I don't know what he's saying. Is there interpreter somewhere in the room? Well, he ain't got time to give an interpreter, and we in the heat of battle.
Yes, sir.
So a lot of this stuff don't add up. So Paul says, look, all that stuff is nice, but that ain't it. And if you go through 14, he'll list down everything. Like I said, I'm putting a lot in a little bit of time. But go home and look at this. Amen? Come back here, 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read this down to you. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am what? Nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, then I've gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, which most tongue speakers are. Amen. You ain't got to say it. I've dealt with them. There's an arrogance there that says, I'm better than you. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will what? Come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in the mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known, and now He had the greatest gifts. Faith. Hope. And love. Abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. So the only tongue you need to speak is the tongue of love. And an intelligible language saying how much I love somebody, how much you are loved. In other words, I will edify and encourage the body of Christ. It ain't enough for me to have my own little things going on to think I'm more special than anybody else. Because if I don't have love, then everything else is all nothing. Don't get it twisted and feel like you got to have some super holy natural experience. As he said, the greatest thing I got for you is to love thy neighbor. If you got that gift, you far above the apostles, the preachers, the teachers, the healers, the anointers, all these special things. If you got love, that's the only language that God really cares about. And you can go in your closet and speak all the love you want. As a matter of fact, I've never spoken tongues. I just speak to God in the voice that he gave me. And I ain't mad about it. I'm not trying to get it. I don't, you know, if it comes, something that comes, that's wonderful. But the point is, it's not essential to salvation. It's not essential to knowing. The Bible says that when I accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon me. Now, I do realize that there are different levels of the Spirit, because when you begin to reach, the apostles had the Holy Spirit, but every now and then the scriptures say that the Holy Spirit came upon them, but when it came upon them to do a work. Amen? So that means there was a special endowment of Spirit for what was needed at that time. Amen? I remember times, well, I know times when I was sick, and you feel like I can't get up here and I can't go on. But then when I begin to start reading his word and start preaching, he gives me some power.
Yes, sir.
The Spirit gives me enough to make it through this particular session. It ain't that I'm better. It's that he's covered me for this period so that my sickness is not a problem, so I can deliver the message. In other words, he comes on me to give me power for that moment.
Yes, sir. All right.
Because if you truly think about it, nobody in here could handle the full power of the Holy Spirit 24/7. You can't handle that much goodness at one time. So when it came, sometimes from spoken tongue, sometimes they was healing folks, sometimes they did extraordinary things. My point is, the Spirit came more than just those couple of times, and every time he came, it was not a conversion of speaking in tongues. That's in the scriptures. So don't hold your hat. Make sure when you say something, people know what you're saying. So they ain't got to come back and say, what you say? Because that's not what God House is about. We are here to uplift and to encourage. So for those who were trying to figure out, how can I be more spiritual? How can I speak in an unknown tongue? What's the relevance for that question? When God says you are already blessed and highly favored because Christ died on the cross for you before you even knew what a tongue was. And so now that we know that we have his grace and his mercy, we need to share his love and make sure that when we speak, we speak so that others might be able to hear and understand. And if we do happen to speak in an unknown tongue, make sure you're in a proper place where it's not confusion within God's house. Amen? Because there's nothing wrong with receiving gifts of the Spirit. The only thing is wrong is when you use them out of context and use them out of place. And at that point, it ain't the Spirit, it's flesh. And let me say this, and I know people say, well, you know, but I hear some of the good ones and all that. They all can't be wrong. Why not? There's only one greater. That's Jesus. So just because you hear T.D. Jakes or somebody else start speaking in tongues right after they said something, don't make it legit. We've seen big pastors and bishops fall left and right. How could they fall if they're speaking in an unknown tongue and the Holy Spirit upon them? So that can't be the story. Love. That's the greatest gift. So if anybody say, what you say? You say, I love you. I have nothing but love. Heavy D said it well. I got nothing but love for you, baby. That's what it's all about. Don't get twisted and lost up in all of this crazy stuff, this superficial stuff that people think make the church. None of that stuff made church. You got churches that speak in tongues. They go out of business like any other church. They got problem with the mortgage. They got problem with tithe. They got problem with everything else, like all the other regular churches. So ain't nothing more special whether you're speaking in tongues or you're not speaking in tongues. The main thing is, are you speaking love? Are you encouraging folks? Huh? Are you putting folks in front of yourself? Are you putting God first? Are you in His Word? Are you studying His Word? Do you believe His Word? Do you have faith? Do you have hope? Because I'm telling you this, but our faith and hope, what do you have? Uh-huh. This world don't offer much. Faith and hope is the only thing that leads me on to be able to love somebody. Amen? Because I know Christ died on the cross for me. And so I'm going to tell it like it is in the most intelligible language that God has given me. I know sometimes my grammar ain't right, and I got a teacher over here who always corrects me. Brother Crawford said, well, my wife. Tell me, where that at? At the end of that sentence. I said, well, we've been saying it for years. So we mess up along the way, but I know it's still whatever I'm saying, it can be heard. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning?
Amen.
Do you got something to tell somebody if they come at you with that crazy stuff again?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's my point. That's like, you know, hope, you know. I would say something in tongues, but I ain't going to say that. And people are like, oh, he's playing around now. You know, but the bottom line is, be true, be honest, be sincere in everything that you do. It ain't about boasting. It ain't about bragging that you're better than somebody else. The greatest of all the things that we talked about and everything that we named is love. If you want to dig more into that, go to 1 Corinthians 14. Back, you can read 12 through 14. You know, Paul breaks it down. And then throughout the scripture, you go to Acts, you're going to see different times where the Holy Spirit laid hands and they spoke in tongues or spoke in an unknown tongue or they did healing or whatever the case may be. There's all kinds of things within the Word that can back up everything I just talked about. Amen. But don't take my word for it. Go look it up. Find it out. Because when you go research it and you go find it out, it becomes yours and not mine. Amen. What you say? Doors of the church are open this morning.